All right, let's dive in. Today we're tackling a pretty unique request, a lecture transcript someone sent us.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called ZFM 02 Prednose.
Okay.
And get this, it's in Czech, but the professor is so tech savvy, he's actually using AI to make English podcasts out of his lectures.
Wow.
Pretty cool, right? So we're diving into finance today.
Right.
Czech style. Don't worry, our expert is here with us.
I'm here.
To help us break down the big ideas and make sure you walk away with some solid takeaways.
Absolutely. We'll unpack it all together.
Well, I gotta say,
yeah.
This professor is a bit of a character.
Oh, really?
He actually jokes in the lecture about needing to keep talking so that AI has enough content.
That's great.
More content for us, right?
Exactly.
So one of the first things that jumps out is this Czech term, sradatel.
Sradatela.
It sounds kind of mysterious, doesn't it?
It does. Sradatel basically just means accumulator.
Okay, so it's not that complicated.
Not really, no.
Yeah?
It's a way to calculate how much money you'll have, like, after saving regularly over time.
Oh, interesting.
And it takes into account, of course, the interest you earn along the way.
So, like, if you put aside even a small amount each month.
Yeah, exactly. Even something small, like one Czech koruna.
Okay.
Every month for a year.
Mm-hmm.
The stradatel calculation helps you see the impact of that, of those savings,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially when you factor in the interest.
That makes sense.
The lecture even provides two formulas for this.
Two.
Yeah. One is if you save at the beginning of each period, like the beginning of the month, and then there's one for if you save at the end.
I see.
It's a subtle difference, but it's interesting to see how that timing, you know, can actually affect how much interest you end up accumulating.
That really does make a difference.
It can, yeah.
It's amazing how those little nuances
right.
can make a difference over time.
Absolutely.
And speaking of time,
yeah.
the lecture then goes on to this incredible world of compound interest.
Love it.
Oh, it's fascinating. The professor tells this story about someone depositing 100 Czech koruna 100 years ago.
Wow.
Into an account with a consistent 10% interest rate. Can you even imagine how much that would be worth today?
I don't even want to guess.
It's a lot.
I bet.
Okay, so get this. After a century of compounding, that 100 koruna would have grown to a mind-blowing 1.4 million Czech koruna. Seriously. That's wild. It really shows the power of starting early and letting your investments just grow over time. It's like planting a tiny seed that grows into a massive tree.
It really is.
This example perfectly illustrates the concept of, you know, the time value of money.
Yeah.
100 koruna today isn't the same as 100 koruna in 100 years.
Exactly.
With a consistent 10% return, it's like that 100 koruna just transformed into 1.4 million koruna over a century.
Yeah, that's the beauty of compound interest.
Okay, so we see that compound interest is pretty powerful.
Right.
But how does this translate into, like, real-world investing strategies?
Mm.
What should people actually do with this information?
That's where the lecture gets really practical, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Because the professor warns against just putting your savings into, like, term deposits.
Okay.
Because inflation, you know, it can steadily eat away at your purchasing power.
So it's not enough to just save.
It might not be, no.
Yeah.
It's like running on a treadmill. You're putting in the effort, but you're not really getting anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Hmm. So what's the alternative then? What does he suggest?
He suggests a more strategic approach, like building a balanced portfolio
okay.
with a mix of bonds and stocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Aiming for annual returns, you know, in that 6-8% range.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah. He also mentions cryptocurrency.
Ah, of course.
Highlighting its potential for big rewards.
Uh-huh.
But also, you know, acknowledging the high risk that comes with it.
Yeah, it's definitely a high risk, high reward situation.
It is, for sure.
Remember that whole story about former U.S. President Trump and his cryptocurrency venture?
Oh, yeah. How could I forget that one?
It was a wild ride. It definitely shows you need to understand the risks before you jump into anything, especially with cryptocurrency.
For sure.
But I'm curious, how often does this interest calculation actually happen?
That's a great question.
Like, is it every day, every month?
That leads us to the next key part of compounding.
Okay, what's that?
The frequency factor.
The frequency factor.
Yeah. And it basically refers to how often the interest is calculated and added to your principal, like you were asking.
So the more often it's compounded, the better, right?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
But the professor has a funny story about this, actually.
Oh, what is it?
He talks about having beers with his boss.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. And joking about suggesting more and more frequent compounding periods.
Oh, I can imagine that conversation getting pretty interesting with each round.
Yeah, Exactly.
But seriously, does compounding more often actually make a big difference?
Well, it does make a difference, but it's often a subtle one. More frequent compounding does lead to slightly higher returns. And to compare different frequencies, we use something called the annual equivalent rate, or AER.
AER.
Yeah, AER.
So let me get this straight. If the interest is compounded, say, every month instead of every year,
Yeah.
you'd end up with a slightly higher AER.
Precisely.
Got it.
And the professor even gives an example in the lecture comparing annual and semi-annual compounding to illustrate this difference.
Okay, makes sense. But what if a bank just took it to the extreme, like compounded interest every millisecond? Wouldn't that be total
Oh,
chaos?
that's a good
Like,
question.
wouldn't that just break the bank?
That's where the professor's hangover moment comes in, I guess.
No, he had a hangover moment.
Yeah, in the lecture, he kind of talks about how he realized, maybe after one too many beers with his boss, that even compounding every thousandth of a second wouldn't actually be a disaster for the bank.
Really?
Yeah. And this is because he kind of stumbled upon this concept of continuous compounding,
Continuous compound.
which is basically like the theoretical limit of how often you can compound.
Continuous compounding. Okay, now we're getting into some really fascinating territory.
It is fascinating,
I
right?
mean, imagine interest being calculated and added to your account every single instant.
Every instant.
That's wild.
It is pretty wild.
So it's not that banks are actually doing this in practice,
Right.
but it's more of a theoretical concept to help us understand, like, the ultimate potential of growth, right?
Exactly. It's a way to really grasp the power of time and consistent growth in its most extreme form. But here's where it gets even more interesting.
Oh, tell me more.
Continuous compounding isn't just some like abstract mathematical idea.
Okay.
It's actually used in complex financial instruments like derivatives.
Derivatives. Okay, now those sound a bit intimidating.
They can be, a little bit.
Can you break those down a little bit for me?
Yeah, think of a derivative as a financial contract
Okay.
where the value is derived from an underlying asset.
Okay.
Simple example would be a stock option,
Okay,
which
yeah.
gives the holder the right, but not the obligation, to buy or sell a specific stock
Okay.
at a certain price within a specific time frame.
So, like, if I think a stock's going to go up,
Yeah.
I could buy an option that lets me buy it at, like, a lower price later on, even if the actual price has gone up.
You got it. That's
Yeah.
exactly right. And the pricing of these options often involves models that use continuous compounding.
Really?
Yeah, to account for those potential, ups and downs in the stock's value over time.
Wow. So continuous compounding isn't just this theoretical concept. It actually has real-world applications in
Exactly.
how these complex financial instruments are valued and traded.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. But it does make you wonder if these models are relying on continuous compounding, which can be pretty complex.
Yeah.
How does that impact, like, transparency for regular investors?
That's a great point.
It seems like the more complex the model, the harder it is to really grasp the risks.
You're absolutely right. And it highlights the need for financial literacy and maybe seeking expert advice when you're dealing with these more complex products. But let's bring it back to the lecture for a minute. The professor wraps things up with this interesting observation about banks, He points out that even though banks don't technically use continuous compounding, they are constantly calculating and adding interest to accounts.
So it's like a continuous flow, like always in motion, always growing.
It is.
That's a pretty fascinating concept.
It is. And the professor seems to be hinting at like a deeper question here about the ethics of this constant accumulation.
Yeah, I see what you mean. If a bank is making money through this process, all the time, what
Right.
does that mean for the bigger picture?
Those are great questions. And it seems like the professor is encouraging us to think beyond just the formulas and consider, the broader impact of financial systems.
I love that he's not just teaching the mechanics, but also pushing us to think about these ethical dimensions.
Yeah, it's great.
Money isn't just numbers, it has real impact on our lives and the world around
For
us.
sure.
So, after this dive into compounding,
Yeah.
what are some key takeaways for our listeners? Like, what should they walk away with?
I'd say the biggest takeaway is time is your most valuable asset when it comes to growing wealth. Starting early, even with small amounts, allows you to really harness that power of compounding over the long term.
It's like that saying, The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Exactly.
But it's not just about starting early. It's about making informed decisions.
Yeah, that's key.
We've talked about diversification, managing risk, considering inflation.
All important factors.
It's all about finding that right balance and making choices that work for you, your financial goals, your risk tolerance.
Absolutely.
And as the professor wisely cautioned us, we need to be wary of those get-rich-quick schemes.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
99% of the time.
Before we wrap up, though, I have one last question that's been on my mind.
Okay, what is it?
The professor mentioned Euler's number, or E, in relation to continuous compounding. And it piqued my curiosity. What's the story behind this mysterious mathematical constant?
Ah, that's a fascinating question.
Right.
It deserves its own deep dive, for sure.
We might have to do that sometime.
Yeah, we should. But in short, Euler's number, it's one of the most important constants in mathematics.
Really?
Yeah, it shows up everywhere, from calculus to physics.
Wow.
It's what we call an irrational number.
Irrational.
Meaning its decimal representation just goes on forever without repeating.
So it's kind of like pi, another one of those never-ending numbers that's both beautiful and kind of mind-boggling.
Exactly. And what makes it so special is it emerges naturally from the study of growth and decay.
Okay.
Like, imagine you have $1 invested.
Okay.
At a 100% interest rate.
Okay, pretty high interest rate.
Compounded annually.
Yeah.
After 1 year, you'd have $2, right? Now imagine compounding that interest more frequently.
Like every 6 months.
Exactly. You would end up with slightly more than $2 because the interest earned in the first 6 months would start earning interest itself.
Right, right. It starts compounding.
Exactly.
So if you keep increasing the compounding frequency,
yeah,
you get closer and closer to a certain limit, and that limit is E.
That's exactly it.
Wow.
E is the mathematical embodiment of continuous growth. It's this connection to continuous growth that makes it so relevant in so many areas, from science to finance.
It's amazing how these seemingly abstract mathematical concepts have such profound implications in the real world.
I know, isn't it incredible? It really underscores how everything's interconnected.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today. From calculating compound interest to this idea of continuous compounding, and even touching on the ethics of continuous growth in finance, it's been quite a journey.
It has been a really fascinating conversation.
Before we go, I want to circle back to that thought you left us with about the power of compounding knowledge. It's such a great analogy.
It is, isn't it?
Just like small, consistent investments, the knowledge we gain today,
yeah,
the connections we make, the ideas we explore, they all have the potential to compound and really shape our understanding of the world around us.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that learning is a journey, and every deep dive we do, every exploration adds to that.
So keep asking questions, keep seeking new perspectives, and never stop exploring.
Couldn't agree more.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of finance, inspired by that Czech lecture transcript.
It was a great discussion.
Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep those deep dives going.
Keep diving.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? It's like interest just being calculated and added to your principal every single instant.
Wow, that's wild. So like, it's not that banks are actually doing this in practice.
No, not really.
It's more like a theoretical concept.
Exactly. To help us understand the ultimate potential of growth.
Okay.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Continuous compounding. It isn't just this abstract mathematical idea.
Okay.
It's actually used in complex financial instruments, like derivatives.
Derivatives. Okay, those sound a bit intimidating.
Yeah, they can be, a little bit.
Can you break those down for me a little bit?
Yeah, so think of a derivative as like a financial contract.
Yeah.
Whose value is derived from an underlying asset.
Okay.
A simple example would be a stock option.
Okay, yeah.
Which gives the holder the right, but not the obligation,
right,
to buy or sell a specific stock,
okay,
at a certain price within a specific time frame.
Okay. So if I think the stock is going to go up,
yeah,
I could buy an option that lets me buy it at a lower price later on, even if the actual price has gone up.
You got it. That's exactly it. And the pricing of these options, it often involves models that use continuous compounding.
Really?
Yeah, to account for those potential fluctuations, the ups and downs in the stock's value.
Wow. So continuous compounding, it's not just a theoretical concept.
No.
It has real-world applications in how these like really complex instruments are valued.
Exactly.
And traded. That's incredible. But it does make you wonder, you know, if these sophisticated models are using continuous compounding, which can be pretty hard to grasp.
Yeah.
How does that affect transparency for just like regular investors.
That's a great point. It highlights the need for financial literacy and sometimes maybe seeking expert advice when you're dealing with these more complex products.
Right.
But let's go back to the lecture for a second.
Okay.
Because the professor wraps things up with this really interesting observation about how banks operate.
Oh, okay.
He points out that even though they don't technically use continuous compounding,
right,
they are constantly calculating and adding interest to accounts.
Oh, I see. So it's like this continuous flow.
Right.
Always in motion, always growing.
Exactly.
That's a pretty fascinating concept.
It is. And the professor seems to be hinting at a deeper question here.
Oh.
About the ethics of this constant accumulation.
Mm, yeah. If a bank is making money through this process all the time,
right,
what does that mean for the bigger picture?
Exactly. Those are great questions. It seems like he's encouraging us to think beyond just the formulas and numbers.
Yeah.
And consider the broader impact of financial systems.
I love that he's not just teaching the mechanics.
That's good.
But he's pushing us to think about the ethical dimensions, too.
Absolutely.
Money isn't just numbers. It affects our lives and the world around us.
For sure.
Okay, so after this deep dive into compounding,
yeah,
what are some key takeaways for our listeners? What should they really walk away with?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is this. Time is your most valuable asset when it comes to growing wealth. Starting early, even with small amounts, allows you to harness the power of compounding over the long term.
It's like that saying, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
But it's not just about starting early.
Right.
It's also about making informed decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about diversification, managing risk, considering the impact of inflation.
Right. It's all about finding that balance and making choices that really align with your own financial goals, your risk tolerance.
Exactly.
And like the professor warned us, we have to be careful about those get-rich-quick schemes.
Oh, yeah.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
99% of the time, yeah.
Before we wrap up, though, I have one last question that's been on my mind.
Okay, shoot.
The professor mentioned Euler's number, or E, in relation to continuous compounding. And it really piqued my curiosity. What's the story behind this, like, mysterious mathematical constant?
Ah, that is a fascinating question. And it probably deserves its own deep dive.
Maybe we should do that sometime.
Yeah, we should. But in short, Euler's number is one of the most important constants in all of mathematics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it shows up everywhere, from calculus to physics. And it's what we call an irrational number.
Irrational.
Meaning its decimal representation just goes on forever, without repeating.
So it's kind of like pi.
Exactly.
So another one of those never-ending numbers that's beautiful and kind of mind-boggling.
Exactly. And what makes E so special is that it emerges naturally from the study of growth and decay.
Hmm. Okay.
Imagine you have $1 invested at 100% interest rate, compounded annually. After 1 year, you'd have $2.
Right.
Right. Now, imagine compounding that interest more frequently.
Like every 6 months.
Exactly. Mm. You'd end up with slightly more than $2 because the interest earned in those first 6 months starts earning interest itself.
Right, right. It starts compounding on itself.
Exactly. And if you keep increasing that compounding frequency,
you
get closer and closer to a limit. And that limit is E.
Wow.
E is the mathematical embodiment of continuous growth. And this connection to continuous growth is what makes it relevant in so many fields, from science to finance.
It's amazing how these like abstract mathematical concepts can have such real-world implications.
I know. Isn't it fascinating? It really shows how everything's kind of interconnected.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground today, from calculating compound interest to this idea of continuous compounding and even touching on the ethics of continuous growth in finance. It's been quite a journey.
It has been a great discussion.
Before we go, I want to circle back to that thought you left us with about the power of compounding knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really powerful idea.
It is.
Just like with those small, consistent investments, the knowledge we gain today, the connections we make, the ideas we explore, they all have the potential to compound and shape our understanding of the world around us.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that learning is an ongoing journey. And every deep dive, every exploration, it all adds up.
So keep asking questions, keep seeking new perspectives, and never stop exploring.
Couldn't agree more.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of finance, inspired by that Czech lecture transcript.
It was my pleasure.
Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep those deep dives going.
Keep diving.
You know, it's funny. We started with this Czech lecture transcript. ZFM02 Shidnashka.
Right.
And ended up on this incredible journey exploring the essence of growth.
Yeah.
Both financial and intellectual.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
A real testament to how interconnected knowledge is.
It is. Yeah. One concept leads to another, and before you know it,
you go down the rabbit hole.
Exactly. Speaking of mysteries, we talked about Euler's number, or E.
Right.
But I gotta admit, my math skills are a bit rusty.
Oh, no worries.
Can we rewind a bit?
Yeah, of course.
And unpack this concept a bit more. What makes E so special?
Absolutely. So E is one of those fascinating mathematical constants that pops up in the most unexpected places.
Ooh, I like that.
It's an irrational number, like pi.
Okay.
Meaning its decimal representation goes on forever, never repeating. But what makes E truly remarkable is that it's connected to these growth and decay processes.
Okay, how so?
Well, imagine you have a dollar invested. Just $1.
Okay.
At an interest rate of 100%.
Wow. Okay. That's a good interest rate.
Compounded annually. So after 1 year, you'd have $2, right?
Yeah. Makes sense.
But what if we compounded that interest more often, say every 6 months?
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we'd end up with a little more than $2 because the interest earned in the first 6 months would start earning interest itself.
Precisely. And if you compounded even more frequently, say every month or even every day, you get closer and closer to a certain limit.
And that limit,
Exactly. It represents that maximum growth you could get with continuous compounding.
That's so cool.
Isn't it? So it's not that banks are actually doing this.
Right.
But E provides that theoretical framework for understanding that upper limit.
Okay, that makes sense. And it's not just in finance either, right?
Nope. E pops up in all sorts of fields.
You said radioactive decay and population growth?
Exactly. It really shows you how elegant and universal math can be.
This has been such an enlightening deep dive.
It has been fun.
Compound interest, Euler's number. We even got into some ethical discussions.
I know, right?
It's been quite a journey.
It really has.
Before we wrap up, though,
I
want to go back to that idea you mentioned, the compounding of knowledge.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite analogies.
It's so powerful.
It is. Just like those small, consistent investments that can grow over time, so can our knowledge.
Exact.
The connections we make, the ideas we ponder.
It all adds up.
It all compounds and shapes how we see the world.
It's a good reminder that learning is an ongoing journey.
It really is.
Every deep dive, every exploration, it all contributes to that.
Exactly.
So keep asking questions, keep seeking out new perspectives, and never stop exploring.
I love that.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of finance, inspired by that Czech lecture transcript.
It was my pleasure.
Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep those deep dives going.